Hello and welcome to this Open Systems Media eCast on how to get to market with Android on your smart device. I'm Mike Demler, Editorial Director for Open Systems Media's DSP-FPGA and EDA Digest publications. I will be serving as the moderator for this webinar. I'd like to begin with an introduction to our topic today. As I would assume most of you know, Google's Android has become the dominant operating system for mobile devices worldwide, in large part due to its open source nature and the diverse ecosystem that has enabled. That openness can also come with a downside, which is that developing for an Android platform can be more challenging than for a closed proprietary operating system, both from a technical and a business perspective. By attending this webinar, you will learn about the advantages of developing on Android and how to handle some of the challenges that can arise. You'll get an overview from Freescale of their solutions to help shorten development time, including board support packages, codecs, and middleware. Freescale's partner, Algo, will then share some of their Android expertise on how to design and build systems using Freescale technology. Before we get started, I have just a few housekeeping items. Today's presentation will consume about 50 minutes, leaving us 10 minutes or so for questions at the end. There are several on-screen buttons for you to take notice of. First, by clicking on the Enlarge Slides button, you'll be able to view the slides in full screen mode. You will also find a button on your screen that allows you to download a copy of the slides. And there's a forward to a friend button that you can use to send an email to a colleague inviting them to join us for this live event. Finally, you'll also find on your console window a button that allows you to enter questions in real time. We'll do our best to address your questions during the closing Q&A session. If you have a question pertaining to the webcast operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you during the presentation. We may not get to all of your questions before the end of the allotted time, but in that case, someone will get back to you after the webcast with more information. Finally, this webcast will be posted online shortly after the event, and an audio podcast will also be made available. We'll have more details about that at the end. Now on to the presentation. We will have two speakers today. First, Robert Thomason. Robert joins us from Freescale Segment Marketing. Robert is a consumer electronics industry expert with over 20 years' experience in diverse markets worldwide. Prior to joining Freescale, he led Dell's entry into the flat panel display and LCD TV markets before moving to their mobility product group. At Freescale, Robert is responsible for planning the company's worldwide strategy for growth in the smart device and tablet market, as well as developing a partner software ecosystem. Next, we'll have Vikas Shukla, manager for the turnkey solutions business at Algo. Vikas has many years of experience in electronic design for consumer products, most notably the Slingbox from Sling Media. At Algo, he is in charge of hardware and software turnkey solutions, where he works with customers to propose technical solutions for product development, as well as working with the Algo engineering teams to ensure the success of their product designs. We'll start our presentation today with Robert. Over to you.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks, everybody, for taking time out of your day to listen to our presentation. So if we look at the agenda, if we can move forward. So if we look at the agenda, we're going to take you through four major parts of the presentation. Firstly, what I want you to do is, instead of just jumping straight into Android, is provide a framework for helping you decide if Android is even the right choice for the operating system for your smart device. Once we've done this, we want to define what Android, the major characteristics of what the Android operating system is today, although you might think that is obvious. We really want to redefine that and make sure we're on the same page. Then I want to take you through a case study of how Freescale developed Android 4.0 or Ice Cream Sandwich. And then what I want to do is transition over to Vikas with Algo Systems to show you how we work with our partner, our software partner ecosystem to help you, the customer, go from our base support package and reference designs to market. So Really what I want to do is start off by defining what is a smart device. This is a term that is being thrown around, and so for the next 45 to 50 minutes, I really want to start or stay with this definition, which you see on the slide, which is a smart device is a managed system that runs a high-level operating system and connects to the Internet, execute native or cloud-based application, and analyzes data collected. Now, you might be looking at that definition and thinking, that's pretty broad, and that's what it's intended to be, because if you look at the examples I've given you of devices on that slide, you'll see it ranges from a home energy management system, a smart TV, an auto infotainment system, a tablet specifically designed for a vertical market, i.e. the kitchen market, a smart book, a term that has come and gone, and a smart watch. And really what I want you to think about is when we use the term smart device, we are not just talking about smartphones and consumer electronics. And if you look at the slide I'm showing right now, the migration to smart devices, if you look at the vision of what most analysts and a lot of companies are looking at, by 2020, smart devices will actually be the majority, will not be in the categories that we automatically think of. Most of the opportunities and most of the smart devices are going to be in market segments that we would traditionally call industrial or enterprise, them being home energy management, smart appliances, anywhere from a toaster to a washing machine, health and fitness devices, industrial and enterprise, as we see this consumerization of IT with many of these consumer devices, be they smartphones or tablets, becoming prevalent in the enterprise, transportation, retail point of system, video surveillance, and then auto infotainment. By 2020, these will outnumber the traditional form of consumer smart devices 5-1. So let's look at when we talk about this transition from these traditional embedded markets to smart devices, what do we really mean? So let's look at auto infotainment as a good example of this. So as you see here, if we look at the major characteristics of a system, if you look at auto infotainment, if you take a classic embedded or classic version of this, this is very similar to my car. I drive an Audi A4 2006. It really doesn't have, it's the only operating system or form of software in there is a real-time operating system. It's a very simple user interface that simply tells me the song that's on the radio or the radio station. This is based on a simple MCU, which I'm sure is single core, 8-bit, 16-bit, and was probably developed custom for Audi. There is no connectivity in my car. Audi did not include Bluetooth even until 2007 in the U.S. market. The user interface is very definitely focused on the machine, and if there are any standards, it's proprietary standards because this was a closed ecosystem. Now let's look at the migration of this traditional embedded device to a smart device. Well, as we know, all the auto infotainment market is evolving very rapidly, and if you look at buying most cars today, they will have a much more complex auto infotainment system user interface. This will be running a wide variety of high-level operating systems. This might be Linux, it might be Android, it might be some form of Lenara or Genevi. It's more than likely based on a multi-core processor. One good example would be the Freescale i.MX6 quad-core processor, which is about to come to market. The connectivity is very wide. Not only is there Bluetooth, there's Wi-Fi. There's even potentially 4G LTE. The user interface is very much focused on the user, not the machine, in terms of replicating that touch user interface, which we have become very used to on our smartphones and our tablets. And the standards are very much based on open standards, because they are looking to tap into the developer ecosystem that most of the high-level operating systems will already offer. So that's an example of what we're talking about, this migration from embedded to smart, and this will constitute the majority of smart devices within the next few years. So I've given you the example of auto infotainment, which, as I said, Android is already being used for, but does not dominate by any stretch of the imagination. But if we look at the overall mobile market, where are we today? Well, if we look at this chart provided by Gartner, we'll see that they're forecasting by the end of this year, this calendar year, 2012, more than 50% of mobile devices will actually be using Android. proprietary operating systems such as iOS and Microsoft and RIM do constitute a fair percentage. But if you look at the other column, such as Baidu and a lot of the other open operating systems or closed that were being used by mobile devices, you can see that percentage being reduced dramatically over the next few years. So the question is there any other choice from apart from Android for your smart device? Well, really before you jump and jump to the conclusion that Android is your only choice, what I want to do, as I said at the start, is give you a little bit of a framework. So if we look at the OS decision tree that you should go through, the first question that I want you to ask yourself is, what is your product's intended behavior? So there are four key elements that I really want you to think about: connectivity, awareness, the core function, and intelligence. So let's look at what we mean by connected. Well, I'm assuming you want your device to be connected, but if you don't want your device to be connected, we're really not talking about a smart device. We're talking about an embedded device. And so really, I would really question whether Android is the right choice for you at all. Assuming that you do want your device to be connected, the first question you have to ask yourself is, what level of presence do I want my device to have? When it connects to a network, do I want it to be opportunistic, i.e. it connects, it gets data, and then it goes back down? Does it observe, i.e. does it connect to a network through an IP address but does not let anybody else on the network know it's around? Or are you looking at social awareness, where not only does it automatically connect, stay connected, but it lets everybody else in its social or extended network know that it's on that network? The next area we need to think about is awareness. Again, the assumption is that if you're looking at a smart device, you do want your product to be aware. If you do not want your product to be aware, again, we're talking about a traditional embedded device. So what level of awareness is the next question you should be asking yourself? Are you looking at awareness simply in terms of geolocation? Do you want geospatial awareness? Do you want environmental awareness? Are you looking at using multi-sensors, smart sensing, smart hubs? And do you want your device to be self-aware, i.e. aware of its surroundings and make decisions based on those surroundings? Next is core functionality. If you're looking at a device to be stationary and finite in its function, again, I would really question whether you're looking at a smart device. You're really looking at defining your device as a more traditional embedded device. If you are looking at your core functionality in terms of mobility, is this the predominant attribute? Because if it is, again, Android is one of the right choices for you. Is the behavior you want your device to have an expression of the user? Do you want it to learn from its user settings? Do you want it to be an expression of the personality of the user? Intelligence. Do you want the intelligence of the device to be predefined before it's deployed and it not to gain any other intelligence from its surroundings or its user? Again, if you want it to be predefined, you are looking at an embedded device, not a smart device. If you are looking for a device which is personalized, which learns and becomes an expression of that end user, you are looking at a smart device. These are the four key questions and four product behaviors that you have to think about before you even start deciding on your operating systems. Now, let's say this: after going through this, you say, well, this sounds like my device. I want it to be connected. I want it to be aware. I want its core functionality to be an expression of the user, and its intelligence to really be not predefined, but organic and extended through the usage by as it is used in the environment that it's put in. So let's say you answer in this way. You say, well, I do want it to be connected. I do want it to be social. I want it to be aware through every functionality in terms of geolocation, multi-sensor. But when it comes to the core functionality, you say, well, I do want the mobility to be the predominant attribute, but this will be deployed, this is a corporate asset, this will be used by many people, so I don't want it to become an expression of the user. And in terms of intelligence, once again, I do want it to be able to learn, but I don't want it to become a pure expression of the end user, because this will be used for enterprise purposes. So let's say you score, as I've shown you on this screen, 5, 5, but then 3 and 2, where 5 is Obviously, the full extent, and one is the least. Well, really, what Android wants the device to be is for you to score 5 on all of these 4 major axes. Because what Android is it's an open operating system that learns through the usage of the user. By trying to use Android, and what you will be doing if you're not scoring on the right on all of these characteristics is convert a generic open platform to behave like an embedded device. So, what is Android all about? Well, we believe, if you look back at Android, Android was founded to create smart devices that are aware of its owner's presence. And if you could ask the droid today, what is Android all about, it would say, I'm a multifunctional platform that is handling a multiplicity of dynamic actions and interactions. It's aware, it's learning, it's intelligent. It's governed by intelligent decisions-making and organizational interaction, i.e. it learns from the user and it interacts through that social network. That is Android. If you are looking to have a device that does not fit those characteristics, again, you can use Android, but you will be facing some challenges. So what is Android today? Well, if we look at Android today, it is still defined through these 4 key characteristics that we've talked about. In terms of connectivity, it's evolved from LTE to near-field communications. You can be on-demand and autonomous. The assumption is that you want to be constantly connected and aware. The context and awareness is constantly evolving. The system's becoming more complex. The concepts, the functions, and the behaviors are more multifunctional, as we talked about. The interaction and intelligence is really looking at extending the expression of the user through many different ways, not just touch, but natural user interface, spoken, and gestures. And remember, Android is constantly extending itself. Android is an application framework that is capable of performing a multitude of actions and tasks at the same time. But because the API structure is constantly being extended, that framework is constantly being extended as well. And that's one of the major challenges of working with Android. If you look at the Android OS life, what we are dealing with both as an SoC developer looking to port Android to our silicon is the constant integration, and you will also be dealing with this if you decide to standardize on Android for your devices. As you know, Google and the Android team, the current schedule is biannual releases, although that, you know, is not guaranteed for the future. And you are looking at a constantly evolving API structure where forwards and backwards compatibility is always a challenge. And that is one of the major integration points that you and we will be facing, everybody within the ecosystem together. Really what we are looking at is extending or limiting that API structure. And what defines that is the compatibility definition document, which is published with each major version of Android. And you are looking within that compatibility definition document, not just the API structure from a software standpoint, but also the hardware requirements in terms of what is required, what may be included, and the framework, which is constantly being constrained if you don't integrate all the API structures which were evolved. And then finally, Google Mobile Services. A lot of customers we talk to, the main reason for looking at Android is access to the proprietary Google applications, such as Google Maps, Gmail, or Google Play. Now, actually getting access to these proprietary services is not easy. Firstly, you have to meet the compatibility test suite, but then that has to be submitted to Google, and Google has to certify your device. This can be a lengthy process. It's optimized if you work with a partner, such as one of our ecosystem partners, such as Allgo or some others. But there is no guarantee that you aren't going to get access to Google on mobile services, because that is restricted to certain types of devices and even certain sizes of companies. So if we look at that, this is the major characteristics of Android. What I'd like to do is to show you now how Freescale works with a major release of Android. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk through how we dealt with Android 4.0 or Ice Cream Sandwich. So firstly, if you look at, you know, Google released the SDK for Ice Cream Sandwich on October 19th, and then the source code on November 14th. So what did we do with it? Well, obviously, as soon as it was released, we took the source code, and we had our first image up and running on our i.mx6 quad-core board on December 1st, based on the Linux kernel 2.6.38. Now, a lot of our competitors had something up within a much shorter space of time up on YouTube. But really, what does this mean, both from a Freescale standpoint and our competitors? What we're doing is we're showing you that we have a bare UI and a very limited feature set of Ice Cream Sandwich up there. We're not looking at anything like the full feature and API structure that Google announced at Google I.O. A few months before. But even to get this initial image up and running, what changes did we need to make? Well, first of all, we needed to have the integration of the new kernel features. So anyway, we had to upgrade the kernel. We had to look at the major kernel drivers in terms of display, audio, USB, and even power management. We then had to look at the hardware abstraction layer and look at how we could support the public API functionality and the new APIs that had been released. We then had to augment the native libraries of the GPU structure within the framework, both in the libraries, obviously the runtime utilities. And then the base framework changes that were needed for this new API structure and the surface composition and the higher layers in terms of the application framework. Now this was to just get this initial image up and running. But really what I want to show you on the next slide is the overall process that we went through over the next month to get to a general release version of Ice Cream Sandwich that we make available to our customers. So on this slide, what I'm trying to show you is that even though the source code is released, it doesn't stay static. As you can see on the left-hand column, the Ice Cream Sandwich releases do continue over the next few months as Android find bugs and improve and release new versions. As they release new versions, we as an SoC integrator have to react to that and incorporate those changes, continue our code changes, and even as we migrate from the Linux kernel version of the Linux kernel we're going through, we go through a number of changes through the months to get close to a general availability release of Ice Cream Sandwich. So there's a lot of work that goes on. But really, what we're doing is we're making a lot of decisions in that process as well. Because what is guiding us is we look at all the APIs and all the features that potentially we can enable, and then we go back to the compatibility definition document that I referred to earlier and the compatibility test suite, which again the Android team releases to show you what you have to do in terms of developing a base support package that can be delivered on a device that will meet their criteria for that version of Android if you're looking at gaining access to Google on mobile services. So what we're looking at is the compatibility definition document and the compatibility test suite that will drive our decisions of what features and what API structures we want to take advantage of. Now, we're not going to do everything. Firstly, if you look at Android, as we know today, Android is prevalent on smartphones and then tablets. Freescale and our customers are not focused on the smartphone market. So when we look at making product decisions and choices, we do not focus on the phone features. So one feature that has been prevalent in the last couple of releases of Android is Face Unlock. We believe this is a smartphone-focused feature, and our customers will not value it or not look at implementing this feature on their devices. Therefore, we do not do anything with that feature. We make these decisions. So the first thing to realize is that the version of Android that we deliver for our base support packages will not include everything that Google or Android announces with each release or this release of Ice Cream Sandwich. The second decision we have to make is that we have to develop our version of Ice Cream Sandwich that will meet the CTS requirements, the compatibility test suite requirements, for one instance of hardware, which is our reference design. So we make hardware decisions, again, based on what we believe our customers' needs are. So many features which are listed in the compatibility definition document of ice cream sandwich are listed as might have, not must have. A good example is near-field communication. Once again, we believe that near-field communications, although it has great potential as a hardware feature, is not something most of our customers will enable or put in their devices this time around. You might do, but we are not going to spend our time developing and putting precious resources on it. Therefore, again, our reference design does not have near-field communication. Therefore, we do not include any hooks into the API to enable near-field communications. Again, a lot of the sensors listed in the compatibility definition document are optional. We include a lot of the sensors that we believe are required by most of the devices that will go to market using our version of ice cream sandwich, such as an accelerometer, but do not include all the sensors which are listed, such as a gyroscope. And then finally, once we've defined our reference design, we are going to develop our version of Android and ice cream sandwich that will meet the compatibility test suite as defined by Android. Therefore, we are looking at meeting and passing all the tests that are listed, and we go through that testing. Now, we cannot go to Android and actually ask for certification because we are not delivering an end device. We are delivering a reference design, an instance that allows you to take it, understand what we are doing from a hardware and software feature, and understand how you can use our reference designs to go to market. So what we do and what we deliver to you is a series of reference designs. On those reference designs, the base support package for Android Ice Cream Sandwich meets the compatibility test, passes all the testing requirements of the compatibility test suite as defined by Android, and meets all the requirements of the Ice Cream Sandwich 4.0 compatibility definition document. And that's what we deliver to you. We give you a couple of options. Firstly, we give you the Sabre board for smart devices, which is really an introductory board, which is more focused on Linux and just a cost-optimized version of our board to allow you to test the features from a hardware perspective. The Sabre platform for smart devices based on the i.MX6, which is Cortex-A9, quad, dual, and single core, is really defined for, for people who are looking at Android. It allows you to not only have a base support package, but a hardware which is almost form factor complete and may get you 40 to 50% of the way to market. We also work with our partners, such as Allgo, to deliver an ice cream sandwich, which is ported to our current version, our Cortex-A9 i.MX53. Therefore, what we do, we are giving you a choice of reference designs, but these base support packages that we give you from an Android perspective, an ice cream sandwich, are designed to pass the compatibility test suite for this instance of the hardware. So what's next? Once we've given you these reference designs and the base support packages, how do you get to market? Well, the first thing to realize, as I hope I've given you some insight, is that the Android Air OS is not free for anybody. For us to deliver the base support package of Ice Cream Sandwich for i.MX6 and i.MX53 has taken a lot of time and resources. But we're not giving you the final product. What we're giving you is something that we believe is about half of the way there, because we understand that Android is a framework. We believe that the reference design, you will want to make changes, or you might well make changes. For example, we might not use the camera module that you prefer. We might have another vendor for our Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS combo. If you have a preferred vendor, you might want to switch each of these hardware components out. If you do, well, the first thing you have to do is look at porting the driver and integrating that driver into the BSP, and making sure that the driver you are using is natively supported in our final kernel of Linux, which is 3.0.35. Once you've done that, you have to do the functional testing and verification to make sure it meets the compatibility test suite requirements if you are looking at passing that, and then look at going back and making sure that the hardware extraction layer optimization is still valid. Therefore, what we're trying to tell you is we do a lot of work, but we believe that you will, as you're looking to differentiate and be competitively advantaged, you will do more work and make more changes to get to market. Freescale, like any company, can only work with a certain number of companies, and has limited resources. Therefore, we realize the importance and popularity of Android, so we reach out to a number of our software system integrators and partners to help our customers to get to market. One of these companies is Algo, and what I'd like to do now is hand over to Vika Sulka, who will show you how they can help you take the work that Freescale has done with Ice Cream Sandwich and help you get to market with your precise requests for each of your devices. Vika, would you like to take over?
Thanks, Robert. We talk about the different market segment Android can be used, challenges in deploying it, and how Algo can support in bringing your product to market. First part of the presentation talks about Algo, its Android expertise, and offerings. The second part will discuss a couple of case studies. Algo was founded in February 2005 by ex-Motorola employees, and the vision is to create innovative, high-value ESP and embedded technology solutions. The senior management consists of 75 years of ESP embedded and product experience. We are based out of Bangalore. The engineering team and the headquarters is in Bangalore. We have sales presence in US, Taiwan, and Singapore. We are about 85 plus engineers. Guys. Algo has a works on a multiple fields. The major ones are on the automotive infotainment solutions and the turnkey solutions for the customers. We have proven expertise on the turnkey solutions with a BOM optimized hardware and software solution. We have experience of taking multiple products to market, and for example, we have two products which are already launched in the market, and there are three products lined up for the next year. Talks about our relationship with the Freescale and our experience on the i.MX series. Partner, we have deep expertise on the i.MX series of processors. I think as the Freescale has evolved from i.MX 233 to the i.MX 6X high-end processor, we have developed solutions on most of their processors and support. Like, to give an example of you, we have our own tablet, which is on Android Foyo based on IMX ARM9 IMX 233 processor. There is a product in the market, Recipe Reader. We have supported Foyo and the Gingerbread on IMX 8X platform. There are a couple of solutions on high-end processors, the CM53 lined up for the next year. And the latest one on this is the IMX 6X. With Android Ice Cream Sandwich. So we already have engagement with the automotive and consumer customers where we have started supporting them 6 to 8 months back.
Okay, so as I was mentioning, we have, as Robert mentioned earlier, I think Algo is supporting the IMX 53 Ice Cream Sandwich release, which you can contact us for support. So I'm on the next slide. This talks about the Algo expertise on the Android. So we offer a complete solution to customers from hardware design, Linux drivers, Android customization, up to a production support, and for different verticals such as automotive, consumer, and enterprise solutions. So the team has a good experience in working at different layers of Android software, with Linux kernel, native libraries, application framework, or the application development. I'll just touch upon the couple of examples. Like on a Linux kernel, for a product, if you want to add some particular device drivers which are not there, you can assist with that. On native libraries, if you want to use 2D and 3D graphic optimized codecs, that can be integrated. Like some applications which require the fast boot, like especially the automotive application, infotainment application, where you switch on the car and you would like to your software to come up immediately within no time. So that particular support can be provided. Normally the Android takes around 30 seconds something, so this can be done in a 10 seconds, 15 seconds. So these are the kind of services we provide. So I'll move on to the next slide, which talks about the various product design services offerings which we provide. I think we are basically categorized into four things. The first one is the Android OS porting and optimizations. And second is the OS framework enhancement, then the application, and the product support. In the OS porting and optimizations, it includes the bootloader, Linux BSP porting, HL integration, OpenMax stage fright codec integration, and 2D, 3D optimizations. On the OS framework enhancements, it's a Java API services for custom modules like CAN, SmartCard. Like you, take example for the specification, you want to add a SmartCard to your device, a Zigbee to your device, or the barcode reader. Those are by default not supported in the Android framework. So you need certain changes to be made that can be provided here. You can also provide custom app store, data and data management services. The last two points are, one are the proprietary libraries. Like you don't want to use the, somebody doesn't want to use the Bluetooth stack which comes with Android. You can port another stack and customize it. Customize firmware update solutions can be offered. The next slide talks about the OS productization and the HMI. On the productization side, we can offer the product level system testing support for OS firmware upgrades and other things. One of the important requirements which Android gives an advantage to the user is having your own rich graphical user interface. Most of the applications would like their own user interface, whether it's an automotive application or it's a home automation application. So at that time, they would not like to see what comes with Android. They would like to customize their home screen. They would put their own applications. I think that's where Algo can support with their as we have a lot of experience earlier on working on this kind of solutions. Now I'll talk about the two case studies which I have included. One is the low-cost Android tablet. I think there was a specific need to for us for the education and survey market to develop a low-cost tablet. So we developed a solution based on the IMX233 processor, which is an ARM9 application processor. So it was a 7-inch LCD display with a 60 touch panel with a battery support and the Wi-Fi. And we also added a support on this device for a USB mass storage and the connectivity over a USB dongle for USB 3G. So the challenges which we faced in this, there was no Android port available from the Freescale on that, so we had ported the Android Froyo on this processor. The Android on the Froyo, there was no support for the mass storage, so adding of a mass storage support and for the 3G USB support. Now, to improve the performance of the, this slide talks about the stand features. I'll just quickly walk through them. And the slide next to it talks about the our contribution on the and the modifications which we did to make it as a product. As told, we had added, modified various parts of the Android native framework to add specific features. We optimized the framework to get the better performance from the ARM9 processor, as there was no GPU in that. Processor had a PXP hardware accelerator. We did optimize it. We used it and integrated to the system to get the better video processing and the performance. And rest of the standard things like product level testing and and the firmware upgrades were added to this. I think last, on the next slide, which talks about the home automation and plus security solution. I've taken this example because, as every one of us are aware, that Android is basically for the smartphone and the tablet market. But what we are seeing that it can also be utilized for the different market segment. So I'm taking a one use case scenario and just I'll walk you through how it can effectively be used and what are the advantages Android offers in this. So for the product application, what would you need in this device? This is a device which will be at your home, which will control the fans, lights. It can also have a video viewer where you can access the intercom, different cameras across your house. It should be remotely accessible from the internet-enabled device from your mobile or from your office. When you're not using it, it can also work as a photo frame. So what this device spec would be? So this type, it should have a good processor. It should have a 7-inch typical screen with a touch screen for good user experience. It needs a Zigbee to be able to connect to control the remote controls of fan, remote control the fan and lights. It requires a Wi-Fi so that you can remotely control this from external, and you can also see the video. You would obviously need a web server and battery so that you can sit in your couch and play around with it. So how does Android, why would we need an Android in this? So one thing which we feel that Android OS will make it easier to develop the application in a very short time. So for the same device, you can deploy it for the different markets. So as there is a good ecosystem available around the Android, you can easily develop your application for that particular need and you use it. Other advantage, the Android framework itself, as you have seen some of the devices which are required for this device, Android provides a native support for most of these interfaces like Wi-Fi, touch, display. So that makes your development easier and faster. And then you are also talking about multimedia, rich codec support, and rich 2D and 3D graphics. So these are the things which comes built in. So what does not come? Now, what does not come is the Zigbee, which is you need to control your home, is not supported in the Android framework. So that's something which you would require a support from the people who are expert in this to add the support for Zigbee to this device. But what I personally see that complete ecosystem is provided to you, and you need to make a small changes to make it useful for your application. I think I would. That's it from my side. Robert, I'll just give it to you.
Great. Thanks, Vikas. So if we go to the conclusion of our webinar. So, you know, at the start we said we wanted to give you a framework for deciding if Android is the right OS for your smart device. So hopefully we did that by saying you need to start by defining what is your product intended behavior. If you're looking at a task-specific device, you may struggle with Android's constant integration. That does not mean to say you cannot use Android, but you might have to work very closely with a company such as Allgo, which does maintain earlier versions of Android, which are not do not have such an extendable API structure, and are looking at integrating a lot of the latest features, which are very consumer-focused. What we then talked about is what is Android today, and what we try to show you is Android is a fast-evolving operating system, which is really stayed true to its original definition, which is trying to create an operating system which is aware, connected, intelligent, and constantly learning from its user. The difference between what Google might announce at Google I/O or each version of Android and what a company like Freescale will deliver is based on our customer needs. What we're looking very closely at is delivering a reference design and a base support package which is compatible with a definition document, for this case ice cream sandwich in the case study I gave you, and will pass the compatibility test suite. If you, the customer, are looking to take our base support package and develop a device on it, go to Google, submit for CTS, and get access to Google Mobile Services. That is our assumption. by doing that, we make decisions where we do not enable or put hooks in for all the APIs and all the features they talk about. So please realize that both Freescale, and I'll make the assumption that I'll talk for a lot of our competitors, do not enable all the features. Therefore, what we deliver you from a base support package is not what you hear from Google a number of months before. We then believe that the base support package and the reference design we deliver is nowhere near the finished product. You're going to make changes to differentiate, to make your product unique. And that's where we believe that Freescale can work with some of our customers, but we also rely on a number of our partners, such as Allgo, to help you get to market in that critical time frame which you are looking for. So to summarize Allgo Services, as Vikas took us through, they are really a one-stop shop that can work on the hardware side. They can make adaptations to the BSP from a framework and application standpoint. They can port Android to custom hardware and productization. Again, as we said, most of the smart devices that are going to come to market will not be smartphones and tablets. They will be looking at these vertical markets that we talked about, everywhere from home energy management devices, smart appliances, and as Vikas mentioned, as his last example, home automation and security. What Allgo are able to do is to really develop Android for any specific application or build support for specific devices. So hopefully we gave you some insight into Android here, both the challenges and the opportunities of Android and how both working with Freescale and our partner ecosystem network such as Allgo, we can help you get to market with your smart device using Ice Cream Sandwich or the other versions of Android which we have supported and we continue to work with our partners on. So that finishes the webinar. What I'd like to do is hand it back to Mike, and hopefully we have some questions in the last 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. We have several questions, and just remind the audience, if you do have more questions, please go ahead and continue to enter those, and we'll try and get those into the queue. So, Robert, the first question we have is, isn't passing the compatibility test suite also a requirement for getting access to the Google Play App Store? And how does that impact using Android on devices other than smartphones or tablets?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Good question. So really, if you look at what Android are doing and what Google are doing with Android and Google Play, they are fairly firmly saying that is aimed at the core smart devices, which are smartphones and tablets. You know, you do have to pass the compatibility test suite. There are a number of elements to that to potentially get access to the Google mobile services, including Google Play Store. However, just because you meet the requirements does not mean that you will get access to it. That is a decision that is reserved to the Google and the Android team. So basically what we can do from a Freescale standpoint is we can give you the starting point to have a version of Android that meets the requirements as stated in the document, but you need to work probably very closely with one of our partners to go through the process. They've gone through the process a number of times in terms of submitting the test results to Google, getting a response from Google, or even up front setting expectations of will you be able to get access to it. There are no hard definitions around what type of device will have the Google Play services available to it. But if you look at history, they have been reserved for traditional smart devices such as smartphones and tablets from Tier 1 consumer electronics companies that are going to be selling large volumes of products. If you're developing a tablet, for example, that is aimed at a vertical market that might only have a forecast of tens of thousands of units over its life, the chances are that you will not be granted access to Google proprietary services even though you meet the requirements. So, again, be very clear at the beginning of your decision process. If you are choosing Android simply to get access to the Google mobile services, we suggest you contact Freescale if you're looking to work with us, and we'll put you in contact with one of our partners who can set your expectations and your chances of actually reaching your end goal at the very start of your device development cycle.
Okay, the next question is, does Freescale have a plan for porting Android 4.1 version Jelly Bean to the i.MX6.
Yes, we do. We are actively engaged in that as well. Similar to the case study I showed you with Ice Cream Sandwich, as soon as the open source is released, we are working with it. We have not released a schedule yet. We will do very shortly. We are looking at shortening our development cycle and releasing a version of Jelly Bean in the near future. We will be publishing a schedule to our customers in the near future.
Okay, the next question is, could you say a little bit about how the choice of Android version affects choice of processor? Are there minimum requirements to be able to run Ice Cream Sandwich and Jelly Bean?
No, so this is an interesting question. If you look at the compatibility definition document, which should be the guiding light and is available, you know, on Android.com, if you look at that, there are a number of hardware requirements listed. Nowhere in that document for any of the current versions of Android which have been released do they specify processor requirements. Therefore, there was a lot of rumors that Ice Cream Sandwich or even Honeycomb would require dual core. Nowhere in the CDD document does it state that. However, if you look at where Android is going and the complexity of Android, the ever-evolving API structure is designed for a usage model which is multitasking, a number of applications open at the same time. Being able to achieve that maybe on a legacy processor, which is single core, 600 megahertz, you could run Ice Cream Sandwich, and you, in certain parts of the world, you will be able to, in theory, get a version of Ice Cream Sandwich running. However, I would suggest that the user experience would result in a device that would not meet many people's expectations. So although hardware requirements in terms of the number of cores and the frequencies of those cores and the other features of an SoC are never listed, the reason that Freescale is coming out with its latest line of processors, which includes quad-core, dual-core, and single-core, is we believe that to meet the usage models that most of our customers are going to want to use with Android, you will need a quad-core or a dual-core processor for most of those.
Okay. Next question is about availability of a specification document for the Freescale i.MX6 boards.
So those boards which I showed are now available. If you go to our website, freescale.com, you will be able to find a way to purchase them, and once you purchase them, the specifications will become available. If you go to our website, high-level specifications are listed.
Okay. Next question. On your decision diagram, you showed mobility as being one of the decision factors for choosing Android. You also mentioned home automation applications, and Google announced the Android at Home initiative at Google I.O. last year. So how does mobility play into that or versus home automation in choosing Android?
Good question. As you know, Google is a large company with many initiatives. They make many announcements about new products and new initiatives that don't always follow through with specific code delivery. So as you know, the challenge with Android is that Android is being used for many different devices, as Vika suggested, with Olga have already done. But if you look at the latest version of Android, either Ice Cream Sandwich or Jelly Bean, there are no specific features in there that make it easier for a company to use Android for these other vertical markets such as home automation or security. That's why you need companies, and we work closely with companies such as Olgo, which have experience to take the Android framework, because let's remember, each version of Android is simply an application framework, and they can customize it to the specific vertical needs which Android can be applied to. I think it's important to understand that what is announced by Google and Android is simply a starting point, and you can take Android because it is open source. It is an extendable API structure that is constantly evolving, and apply it to different vertical markets. But to do that, you're probably going to need to work with a software solution provider which is very experienced in porting the different stacks, such as Vika's mentioned, Zigbee. You could also use Z-Wave, Bluetooth Low Energy, even AN Plus, in terms of these low energy radio frequency wireless interfaces, which can be used with Android but are not natively supported within the application framework that the Android team does deliver. So you have to be very careful with the constant integration, which we talked about. If you're looking at staying on the bleeding edge and using the latest version of Android, you are often stripping out or having to add many features if you're looking at taking Android and using it for a vertical application, which is not a general mobile device.
Okay, I think we'll make this the last question before we run out of time this morning. What is the easiest way for me to understand which parts of Android are supported by Freescale's board support packages? Is that part of your documentation package?
Yes. So if you purchase one of our reference designs, you get complete documentation listing the features. You know, and what we will do, we will go into detail there in terms of, you know, what we've integrated in the hardware abstraction layer, be it from a sensor, camera, Wi-Fi, multi-touch audio, GPS, Bluetooth display standpoint. We'll list the multimedia integration we've done in terms of the network, the audio codec, the video codecs, and even the software codecs that we've included. So with the base support, with the reference designs, you'll get complete documentation of the BSP, you know, what we've done from a base support package, what features we've included, and what, you know, what will be the next steps you need to take if something is missing, such as Rick has mentioned, you know, if you're looking for a particular Bluetooth stack from a particular supplier. Those will, you know, you'll be fully aware of where what we've given you and where you will need to go to take your product to market.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. That takes us to the end of our time for today. I'd like to thank our presenters, Robert Thompson from Freescale and Vikas Shukla from Algo Systems, for providing us with this very informative webinar. If we didn't get to your questions, somebody will follow up with you, and the webcast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen by the end of the day. And please note that an audio-only podcast version of this webcast is also available. And you can go to iTunes and search for embedded_ecast, and you'll see all of Open System Media's webinars that are available for download as MP3 files. So I want to thank the audience for attending and for participating and for your questions. And have a great day. Thank you.